Welcome to Sex Psychic Psychedelics. I'm Jane Garnett, a licensed psychotherapist, and I'm here to accelerate your personal growth. Because life is too short to not get turned on. Yes. My guest today is branding entrepreneur Kelly Conkright. Kelly's here today to talk with me about the intersections of personal branding, psychology, and the self. Welcome, Kelly. Kelly, so excited to have you here on Sex, Psychics, and Psychedelics. And I was just thinking about the moment that I first saw you. I didn't meet you. I saw you on stage giving a presentation on personal branding. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I noticed about you, aside from your beauty, is that you were wearing all red. And I loved it. You know, I was like, gosh, it's a small thing. And yet it's a significant thing to see someone take the stage wearing a very bright color. And, you know, that was the first sort of inroad for me really into realizing that you were kind of a like-minded creature because you were willing to show up in your colors on stage.
That is so funny that you mentioned the red because, you know, well, first of all, I don't typically wear red. And I never wanted a red car because it's too obvious. And I always wanted to be unique and different. And why would I have a red car? That's too obvious. Like a blonde, you know, blonde with a red car, or why should I wear red? But I think right before the speech, I you know, as I told you in the speech, I do get nervous before I speak. And I just thought, if I'm feeling this level of nervousness, why wouldn't I just wear a super fucking power color? And so I feel like red is that mix of power and passion. Mm. You know what I mean? And like, really, when I give a speech like that, it really is a labor of love for me. And it's really showcasing not only my passion, but also my purpose and what I want to give back to people. So oddly enough, thought did go into my red outfit. And, you know, it did help me because actually, this is really funny too. I'm a big proponent of self-visualization or mental visualization. And I grew up playing sports. And right before I would play the basketball game, I would always mentally visualize myself making the steal, making the free throw, making the layup. And it worked well for me for a lot of years of my life. And then there were some years where it didn't work very well. And what I realized about mental visualization, I'd love to see if you ever do mental visualization, is that it has to be something pretty specific and right before you go on. And also you have to visualize yourself in the process versus the outcome. And there might be different schools of thought on that, but I never imagined myself winning the game. I imagined making the free throw. And so right before I did the kin speech, where of course we met, I laid down on my bed and I put this new device that I bought that helps with your vagus nerve, and you put it on your chest and it's called Sensate. And I'm not doing an ad for them, I promise.
Good to know. Yeah.
Yeah. And it stimulates your nervous system into a parasympathetic state, which is a calm state. And what I did was, instead of practicing my speech, I closed my eyes, I got really calm, and I imagined myself in my red outfit on stage at the kin going through my speech. And the idea of knowing what I was going to wear and knowing where I was going to be helped me a lot.
What were you imagining about the speech when you were doing that? Apart from what being on stage and wearing the red, Was there a quality, a feeling quality, or an outcome, or what was it?
That's a really good question because it kind of leads me to part of your brand, which is playfulness. Mm. And what I did actually, from a feeling perspective, I imagined it was fun for me to do. And I imagined myself smiling and, you know, crushing it, obviously.
So I mean, you did. And I'm glad that you brought up fun. And I'm sorry I interrupted you, but it just felt important to kind of jump on it because that was it. I mean, there was the red, but the fun. You came on stage with the feeling of like we were at a party and it didn't feel fake. It felt genuine. I was like, oh my God, thank God I'm not having to sit stiffly in my chair. Like I felt like I was with you. You were having fun. You were inviting fun. And, you know, it's fun is one of my big lifelong awakenings in a way. Like, it got this shit is powerful. It's important. We need to talk about it.
It's so true. And I was just talking to a friend of mine the other day about, you know, I am guilty of, a lot of people are guilty of going through the first sort of portion of their career and grinding it out.
Yeah.
And you only can have so much success with grinding because your vibration is low.
Let's talk about that. Tell me more.
Yeah. And so, like, I think that, you know, one of the things I picked up with you, you know, and your personality and your brand and how you put yourself out there is that you have play. And so, I'm conscious of the theory around play not only helps you remember things more, but it also creates that vibrational energy that, you know, unfolds more magic. And so, you know, I had seen your Instagram post where you were dancing like I was so enthralled. You were dancing by yourself. It looked like you were, I don't know where you were, but it was kind of like very flowy and Burning Man-ish. And I'm not a dancer or a singer. Like I said, I grew up as an athlete, but I...
Oh, really? I saw you as a dancer. You don't dance?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That is the gift of my week that you just said that, because for some odd reason, I've been really attracted to people and women that are more in the arts. Recently, and my yoga teacher, who's 84, was a professional dancer. Mm. And I found a lot of synchronicity with you and when we spoke after my speech. But you know, I find you to be very feminine and very flowing and also ambitious, of course, and like a total baller. But it's very interesting to me that right now in my life, I'm having a lot of similarities with people that are in the arts versus maybe like sports or business. But what I realized is it's not about what someone does that I relate to. It's the way in which they approach it. And so, like, you put your passion out. You wear your heart on your sleeve. You go for what you want. You know, there's all these qualities that I'm totally attracted to that you have. It has nothing to do with it. I mean, we do totally different things. Mm. But we have that similar vibe around wanting to grow and put our passions out and have fun in what we're doing. And that's why we're here, probably.
That's why we're here. Exactly. Because we have that resonance of fun and joy. And I'm not even sure. I mean, I want to find out more about what you actually do, but I'm not even sure that what we do is so entirely different, because at least bigger picture, I feel like it seems like we're both interested in facilitating more joy. Headline. Okay, that's pretty broad. But I think we're also both interested in psychology and facilitating the uniqueness of each individual. And I feel like this is where I was getting a lot of kind of a feeling of synchronicity listening to your talk about personal branding and how it's in, you want to kind of grow it in this organic way so that it correlates to the essence of the individual, not just some sort of prefixed idea and deliverable. So you were talking about psychology, you were talking about essence, you were talking about the ability to grow within yourself, within your work. All of these concepts, I just feel very kind of like familiar to me and very, very good to me. And I'm very curious to hear about how that works out kind of in terms of business and branding. So like, anchor me a bit in your work and like the brand terminal and how this, where you're coming from more, you know?
I think it's really interesting. First of all, you started by saying that we both facilitate joy or seek to facilitate joy.
Yeah.
I've never had someone say that exact thing to me. And wow, I love that so much. And it's really interesting to see that, you know, to your point, we do different things. And of course, you know, you come from entertainment and having a psychology background, and I come from advertising, moving into branding, moving into personal branding and that kind of thing. So our backgrounds are really different, but it does feel like we've sort of arrived at this intersection and this point in life where we're maybe just have, you know, we're supposed to meet because we want to do the same things, but we're bringing different experiences to the table. And so I don't want to go on a long tangent about what personal branding is, and because I don't want to get boring, but just, you know, based on what you heard in my speech, it really, for me, the way I approach personal branding, and first of all, I hate the word branding.
Yeah, I want to talk about that.
I really would like to, and I'm not a professional writer, but I really would like to rebrand the term personal branding. And I think part of the thing I hate about personal branding is the word branding in particular, because it makes you either think of a logo or an Instagram account or something that's branded that you can't get off, like, you know, a horse being branded.
I was going to say like cattle, yeah.
Cattle.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like actually almost the exact opposite of what I'm trying to help people with, which is really thinking about the whole picture of yourself, right? And in psychology, and I think it's a very little known segment of psychology called psychosynthesis, which is understanding the whole being and not just the past. And so like in my world, if you're a founder or you're an executive trying to get promoted or a new job or something like that, you might have a resume. But what is the resume anyway? It's your past. Well, your past is one little part of you. But what about your dreams and your desires and your personality and your community and? So when I think about personal branding, it's really our whole self. So it's like, you know, who are you? Who are you really? What do you want really? What are your values and how are they shifting as you move through life? You know, what makes you unique? All the way to what's your visual world? Like, what is your fashion style? What's your home style? What's your website style? What's your voice? What's your story? All the way to how you activate it, which is, you know, how do you show up in the world? Like, how do you show up on podcasts? How do you show up at parties? How do you show up in meetings? How do you show up in text messages or emails? To who do you surround yourself with? Who are your mentors? Who are your mentees? You know, like, what events do you go to that can further the industry that you're in? And so it really is this holistic, my version of personal branding is like this holistic view of yourself. And once we can understand ourselves better, we can, I guess, move in a way that feels aligned. And this goes back to a question I want to ask you, because I love your website. It's very colorful. And I have a couple of questions about your brand, but just to jump off of what we're saying right now is you have a part of your website. There's so much that overlaps in what you and I do.
Yeah.
And you have a part that says something about how you have to get behind your own self or something. And a lot of people have this disconnect with how they put themselves out there based on how they think that they should be perceived versus who they really are. And why that is resonant for me is because one of the things I find when I work with clients on their personal brand is a lot of us will write down our goals and we'll write down our desires. But there's this disconnect between our intention and our desire and what we actually go do. And so I think we can have more happiness and success if we're in alignment with what we want and then the actions we take based on that. And so it's just like the goal of, I think there's like this big goal around alignment internally, alignment externally, right? And so, is that something that you also work with people on?
I mean, 100%. I feel like that's my whole mission really, or expression. As you were talking, it was making me think about how for years I went to these conferences, primarily summit conferences. They're these kind of like entrepreneur gatherings, right? And you need to wear a badge and you need to put on your badge, like, you know, that one word of like who the fuck you are in the world. Yes.
And I was like, that's so intimidating.
I would just spend so long. I'd be like, I mean, I have a therapist license, but I really like fully identify with therapists. But if I said artist, that would be presumptuous. I mean, I did just write a book. So could I say writer? But like, in a way, my soul is an entrepreneur. But like, what? You know, it's just like, oh, my God, what a waste of time. And then it's like suddenly it's like, oh, how about I just be me? How about that? Yeah, that could be more simple.
Okay, like, you know, that is the number one thing my clients struggle with, which is like, tell me what you do. And everyone's like, because especially for people that are creative or entrepreneurial, which is a lot of people I work with, they do a lot of things. And even I struggled with it because like I was in advertising and I was in a bit of an intrapreneur before I became an entrepreneur, but like,
What does that mean?
An intrapreneur is like, and I didn't even know, actually, I didn't know what an intrapreneur was when I was one. And then when I became an entrepreneur, I literally had to Google entrepreneur. That was like 10 years ago. What really is that? Yeah. And now like, I like created a show about entrepreneurs and I've done all this stuff, but like, I literally had to Google it. But an intrapreneur is someone who has an entrepreneurial spirit and takes on innovative, unique roles within larger companies, entrepreneurial roles within larger companies. Yeah. I think my bosses knew I was that, but they didn't tell me. They just gave me all these random roles. And I like opened up an office in Europe for my international agency network. And then in New York, and I didn't know at the time that what they saw in me, but it must have been around that entrepreneurial spirit. But even for me, it's like, okay, am I an account director, a strategy director? Cause I've done both of those. Am I in advertising or branding? Cause I've done both of those. Am I in personal branding or business branding? Cause I've done both of those. Like, and I was just like, it's not about being a writer or a podcast host or, you know, whatever. It's what is the message?
Yeah.
What's your main message within that? Like, what's your angle within that? Because if you say I'm a writer, that has nothing to do with your brand, but you have a brand and something you're about, and you can put that out into a podcast, into a blog, into social media, into a book, into a keynote speech. And so it's really like, what is that thing? And for me, it's kind of like, I like to build brands. I don't want brands that are already like done and awesome and on top like Nike. I'm like, you guys are good. Nike, you're good. I am probably better suited to brands that really need that reboot and like need that direction for that next chapter. And so I am, you know, I define myself as a passionate global brand builder. So it's not about what position I'm in or how I put my message out. It's that. And then my firm belief is I want to help people follow their passion successfully. And I feel like I can help people with that. And so that's, you know, those two things really, passionate global brand builder, and then helping others successfully follow their passion with a framework to do so. So what, I mean, I know enough to be dangerous about you and I can't wait for us to hang out more, but like, what are some of your core messages?
Be dangerous? Yeah. Be dangerous, please. Yeah. Go for it. I mean, if you ask me questions like this, you might have me stuttering for a while. So I don't know if it's going to be interesting, but okay. What's the question?
Okay, well, let me back up and ask you this, because, you know, when I look at, when I think about your brand or, you know, look at your website, you have definitely a pretty specific angle on your teachings and on psychology. Mm-hmm. And for me, and I'll say one thing, but I'll let you kind of talk about what you think your brand is, but like, there is color and there's fun. Mm-hmm. And so I was curious like how you came to being colorful and having that movement or even the name Banana Jane. How does that embody who you are?
Yeah. These are great questions and hard to answer in, you know, a single line for sure. And that's, maybe you could help me with that. But Banana Jane really is the inner child and is the kind of the essence and the joy that I've kind of identified in my being. And how did I identify her? I identified her by losing her, essentially. It's sort of the lost and found journey. So growing up, I was kind of always very fruity and romantic and head in the clouds and expressive and artistic and feet never really on the ground, you know. And, you know, you grow up and you start worrying about things like, you know, getting that life together. You know, I always felt it was very important that I got this life together so that I didn't float away, essentially, because I knew my essence was very sort of, it's bubbly. It wants to go up. So like, thank you life for giving me a few anchors like children, you know, but okay. So in that process of, trying to achieve, and that's both through, through work, I was always ambitious. And I gravitated towards film, and that felt like a great fit because of the energy and the collaboration. But it's a super tough business. And so that, you know, that had its effect on me, and it's not as artistic as I wanted it to be. It didn't feel as pure as I wanted it to be. So I had that disappointment, and I also had that grind, right? We talk about life grind, right? And then I had that building process of building a family, you know, finding the guy and the, and, you know, that was a whole sort of whole lot of lifting. You know, it was a whole lot of like building and lifting and arranging. And because I'm quite capable, I did hook up this life that was the life that I thought would give me joy, success, and security. You know, I became a sort of fledgling but successful producer. I married a handsome, successful, rich man. I had two beautiful children. I had a beautiful fucking house in Santa Monica looking over the ocean. I mean, by the look of it, you were like, who is that fucking bitch? She must be
like on paper,
day.
You had everything.
I really did. And I just had this nagging at me. It was like a tug, and it was one of those annoying little soul voices that was just, I remember I had this session with this healer around the time, and she said to me, to proceed with your journey, you're going to have to leave the castle. And I felt so sick. I just wanted to, you know, so mad, because I knew she was right.
But Jane, how amazing is that? Because I love, and I think I'm a dreamer as well, and I love this idea of the hero's journey. Mm. And so it's your hero's journey, you know, and like you had that call for adventure, that call to go back to, you know, what your soul is here for.
Yeah.
And you probably needed all those things in between to learn and to get back to the essence of, you know, kind of what you loved as a child.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And this was the journey I wrote about in the book that I've recently finished. And it feels like such good therapy for personal branding, writing a book about your fucking life to understand it. And I love what you said. It's generous. But also, I think I encourage that perspective, given that we'll never know existentially what is time wasting and what isn't. Let's be generous with ourselves and assume that each life has its own strange perfection, and that we're never really wasting time, even though there is, particularly I feel as I get older, I feel like it's very, very easy to get worried about wasting time and overly sort of self-serious about it. But maybe to be a bit more graceful and a bit more generous about our own journeys and the strange winding path. I've been so frustrated with my journey until really only recently I feel like the pieces have been coming together. And I'm like, oh, I needed this piece from film. Oh, I needed this piece from divorce. Right. Yeah. Oh, I needed this piece from all my crazy, weird moves, my psychedelic journeys, all the crazy shit that I've done. Every little piece had its value, and, you know, it does start to come together, I think. But I do think one has to be patient sometimes if you have a unique journey, which many people do who would be listening to this, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, like, I always think for personal branding, and again, I don't like that term, but it's for people with curiosity and a growth mindset. And if you do have that, then all of this is relevant, and your journey will come together, and all of it is for a reason. I like to believe that. I think, you know, when I look at your brand, I think it's pretty interesting that, you know, you started out in sort of film, content entertainment, then went down psychology. Very different.
Went down is a good, I did go down. I want to talk about that actually, but you carry on.
By the way, I'm jealous of, because, and I want to talk about that too, is like, I feel like I'm meeting you for a reason, because I, as a child, loved psychology, but then because I was a social kind of outgoing person, people pushed me away from psychology and pushed me into communication and advertising. And it really wasn't I did it successfully, to, you know, relatively speaking, but my true heart was psychology. And so now I'm arriving at a place in life where I'm bringing in my love of psychology with my experience in branding to kind of put it all together. And it's so fun to see other people do that as well. Like when I think about your journey, and now where you're at with your company, it's really this beautiful blend of, you know, obviously the play and the content, and the psychology, but put together in a way that now you have your own, filter and brand on it, which is Jane Garnett. You know what I mean? And it's not just working for a, you know, entertainment studio or just like having private clients, you know, but you did it in a way that lets you be bubbly.
Well, you know, first of all, thank you for these generous reflections. And also I feel like I'm kind of getting a free session with you from doing this podcast, which is very clever of me. It's like we're getting some live workshop, yeah. Right? Which is great. And I wasn't expecting. So thank you very much on that. What I do want to say is it's really hard to make space for your own spirit.
Yeah.
And make money at the same time. I was talking to a great friend about exactly this yesterday. She's in education. She's a professor. And she's, you know, having these same questions. Mm. She's in a, you know, an establishment and she's got the props. But she wants to express more, I think, along the lines of, you know, what I think of as sort of the feminine principle, which has been very, you know, squashed really in our world. And when we talk about joy and we talk about expression and we talk about exuberance and we talk about not fitting into, you know, established boxes, we're talking about what I think is a feminine principle. And it's not as controllable. It's not as discernible. It's not as established. It has been marginalized. And so it's harder to align that with existing money-making systems and existing jobs. So we have to become more empowered and more inventive. And when I say it's hard, what I'm wanting to share is I know I, in some ways, you know, show up and make things look easy sometimes because I like that energy. But it takes a lot of figuring out. It takes a lot of, you know, back to getting on your own side.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you're on this path, there's so many moments are going to happen when you're not seen or you're not appreciated or you don't get to make the money or you have to make money and you don't get to express. Right? You have to sort of switch off sometimes. You have to kind of cobble. You have to juggle. You have to, like, yeah. For me, it's like, where do I make money? Well, a little bit here and there. And, you know, I have to figure it out. I don't have like a steady single stream. I don't have a job title. I don't have any of these sort of securities. And it's very exciting. But it's also like you have to stay on your toes, right? You have to stay on your toes and you have to, as I was talking to my female friend yesterday, she's like, what's the answer? And I said, you got to do something clever. And she's like, oh, come on. I'm like, no, I'm serious. Like, you just got to keep doing something clever because you got to, to protect that in yourself, you have to stay alive so you can't get too pinned down. The thing that you were talking about that really resonated with me was in some way this and the permission to grow and change. Yeah. And the shitty thing about this branding idea and this word branding is the idea that we are fixing something and not enabling something. And so if as a personal brand, I think, okay, my message is joy, then I'm like, okay, how do I present that? How do I make a video about that? How do I put the video up there? How do I edit it? How do I da, 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 da. By the time I've got my joy post out, I lost it's the fucking joy. I don't have any joy anymore.
You got all the joy sucked out of doing the joy post. No, I mean, following your passion and putting yourself out is a shit ton of work, right? Yeah, and so no doubt about it, right? But I always go back to a couple of things, which are really cliche, but anything worth doing in life, you know, if it's hard, you're going to get more reward. But if it's worth it, it's going to be hard. The easy path doesn't usually get you the highest reward. And so, yeah, I mean, putting yourself out, working hard at that, it is a lot of work, but like the upside is such an upside. And I think that like this week I've been really resonating with messages, whether it's from people or Instagram or wherever I'm getting these signs and messages around enjoying the process. Yeah. And, you know, it's about the process, not the outcome. It's about the journey, not the destination. It's about the small steps. Like if you're a runner, enjoy the run. Don't think about the finish line, you know, and enjoying even this conversation. Do you know what I mean? Like, can we have fun with this?
Yeah.
Can we enjoy the process of, and then I think that like the outcome is going to be a lot greater. The other thing I think a lot about and work with people on is a lot of us, you know, so I'm in my 40s and at this age, a lot of us talk about burnout and what points in our career did we have burnout? And I feel like it's a really big conversation, particularly for Americans. Because we live in a very capitalistic society that really values success.
Yeah.
Success from a career standpoint, because there's different definitions of success. And my observation is that you don't really get burnt out because you don't have energy. You get burnt out because you're not in alignment with where you're spending your energy. And I've seen this a lot of times where someone talks about being overworked or burnt out, but then they kind of make a tweak. And I say a tweak because this is another learning I've had, which is very interesting. A lot of people want huge shifts in their life. Mm. And this is like also me 10 years ago. And what I realized was I didn't need to turn my life around 180. I needed to just slightly shift to this other adjacent direction to get myself into alignment. And those same people that say that they're tired and don't want to put as much energy into work, when they're shifting in their alignment with where they're spending their energy, now they're working twice as much and they're okay with it. You know what I mean? So this is again why I really think it's so valuable to try to do something. Okay, let me back up. So remember in my speech when I talked about finding your sweet spot? Mm-hmm. Okay, so what I didn't realize, it's an ancient concept called ikigai. which is an ancient Japanese concept. And I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. They've used it before, so it must work. And some people used to say, but I don't know, like, do I go for the money or do I follow my passion? Mm-hmm. You know, and some people are like, well, don't work at what you're passionate about because then it'll take away the joy. Keep it as just a passion project.
Yeah.
I tend to think differently because I'm like, shit, we work our whole lives. I'd really rather do something I love and make it blur the lines between, you know, work and non-work. So that's my stance on it. But my answer to, do I go for the money or for the passion? My answer is neither. You find your sweet spot and both come. And so your sweet spot is that intersection of what you're passionate about, what you're good at, which can be very different. And what you have some experience in, it could be a resume type experience or just a right to win. Maybe you grew up and, you know, your dad was a mechanic, so you somehow worked on Ferraris growing up, but you don't have any experience on cars in your resume, but you do have a right to win in the space in some way, shape, or form. So again, what you're good at, what you're passionate about, what you have a right to win and are experienced at, it in the middle creates this sweet spot of any of all the stuff that you can do. And thinking about how we started the conversation about the word branding and how that some people think that can put you in a box in a bad way. And I totally get that. It's actually quite the opposite. If you have a foundation for knowing where that playground is and you want to stick in the playground, but that playground gets more exciting and bigger and more, you know, I don't know, jungle gyms on it and more people that come to it. Like that playground gets a lot bigger once you know the playground that you're in. And then speaking to like evolution, and this is, I think, another big intersection for you and I, since we do want to do a lot in our life and we are really curious and creative, is like, I think if you stay doing the same thing your whole life, it's like the Albert Einstein quote, life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving. So the idea is not, should I evolve? You have to evolve to stay relevant. If you don't keep evolving, you don't stay relevant. And like, you know, one really easy example, but then maybe we can talk about ones that are closer to home for you and I, but like the easiest example to give right away. And he's, of course, in our backyard in Venice Beach, is Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he has a really defined brand. You know, he always brings the same kind of energy and thinking and feeling to and kind of voice to his brand. But he started as a bodybuilder. Then he became an actor. Then he became a governor. And now he's a climate change activist. What? But he's still the same brand. It's the Arnold Schwarzenegger brand. And like, he can flex in different areas because he knows his brand and he can bring that same brand and voice and energy and know-how to anything he does. And it makes me just realize, cool, because I can have a lot of different chapters and you can have a lot of different chapters and you just keep building on it.
Yes. And what do we do about, okay, so the voice of doubt says, yes, but that's Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's a huge celebrity, of course. You know, I don't know when his fame really kicked in or whatever. But I mean, I've been running into this recently with some of my bigger ideas. I'm like, well, you can't get whatever, fill in the blank, because you're not a celebrity. I'm like, oh, so you have to get famous so that you can do what you want? Is that how it works? Like, so what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, to be totally honest with you, like, I've thought about that too. You know, we place such a huge importance in our culture of someone with influence. And, you know, on the one hand, and maybe this is a slight tangent, when I do personal branding, I say, like, it has nothing to do with Instagram. Because I have some very successful friends who with strong brands, but they don't choose, they do choose to bring that brand into different events and into their corporate workplace and into different areas. So it doesn't always have to be Instagram, but you do have to put out into the universe what you're about so that the law of attraction can do its work. Yeah. And so as long as you're putting out into the universe, like, here's what I'm about, here's what I need, here's what I love, and speaking it somehow, it doesn't have to be on social, that energy will come back to you. And so, you know, I don't know if you necessarily need to be a celebrity or like a massive influencer, but you do need to
be real.
You do need to be authentic, and you do need to put it out in some way so that you have a chance to find those partners. And maybe like in your situation, and I don't, and we'll talk more later, maybe offline about what you're doing. You know, maybe that's where partners come into play to help you with whatever it is. Like, you have the ideas, you're the visionary.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll always be the visionary. That's who you are. But maybe the partner needs to be somebody who's more operational, or maybe somebody who does have the influence, or maybe who does have the investment money or something like that. And the only way we figure that out is by really understanding our superpower and our Achilles heel. And so a lot of people talk about superpower, but not a lot of people talk about the shadow side of the Achilles, the shadow side of the superpower, which is the Achilles heel. It wouldn't be like, you wouldn't be the visionary you are if you also were super disciplined every day and, you know, like robotic and, you know.
You mean what you're saying is if I, that my extreme ADHD goes together with being able to have some fun.
Totally. Your ADHD creates partly your superpower, right? But knowing that if you have ADHD, knowing that, then maybe someone you work with should be someone very disciplined and very focused. And
But dude, I only meet people with ADHD these days. That's the problem. Everyone's scattered.
But now you can start thinking, okay, so, you know, the idea of knowing your superpower is to be able to help others with that.
Yeah.
And then knowing your Achilles heel is so that other people can then help you cover that blind spot. You know, and so do you, I don't know if we should ask this on this question on this call, because we can save that for another conversation, but around your superpower. And have you thought about that in that way?
Not exactly. But I would say it's so vague to say energy, but I think I have a certain kind of energy that can catalyze. it tends to kind of come up really when I'm in playground environments, like, you know, I just went to a festival and beautiful kind of art event, when there are a lot of ingredients there that I can play with, then I can kind of like create something on the spot that raises the energy and brings up joy. It's a very particular thing. Sometimes it comes out in humor. Sometimes it comes out in dance. Sometimes, but it's an uplift. It's the ability to uplift. I don't know. I couldn't say I have one superpower that I've defined, but
yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, that it sounds like you know yourself really well, actually. And, you know, because you have a lot of strengths, but your superpower generally tends to be something that you kind of know is a bit of a gift that you were born with. You kind of just know. And then the downside of that, there's always going to be a downside if it really truly is a superpower. And so, you know, if your superpower is around that spontaneity and that energy and what you can create in those moments, it kind of makes sense that spontaneity and energy in that way could be an Achilles heel, because, you know, you're like a butterfly or a firefly or something that, like, you know, is kind of like wanting to move around versus like focus and get one thing done at a time. And so that's
Kelly, yeah. You're nailing it. Like, you should bring my kids in on this conversation. You know, I move house all the time. It's like it drives everybody mad, you know, but I do have a kind of obsession with keeping energy moving. It is, it's definitely like a hummingbird going. I think here's the thing, you know, what you're saying has a beautiful kind of application in terms of, knowing yourself and being able to, you know, share that with other people. What I also love about what you're saying is the invitation, sort of implicit invitation to compassion. And to not get in our, you know, there's part of me, like my ego's tweaking a bit, going like, she's talking about me having a superpower and am I going to share this with people? And it's embarrassing. Is it egoic? And then the other part feels more comfortable, like, oh, at least we're talking about my flaws, right? Ego. but the point is really, and I united in this, is that this whole conversation is about, can we get to our essence and celebrate it? We are all flawed human beings, and we all have strengths, and we all have blah, blah, blah. We don't have to go on about that. Can we get to our essence? Why do we want to get to our essence? We want to get to our essence because then we can share who we truly authentically are with other people and create some magic that's bigger. And I know we've talked about this concept a bit, because I think, again, it's an intersection, which is this journey from going to, from the I, this egoic state of who am I in the world, how highly am I valued, how many followers do I have, how am I perceived, am I successful, unsuccessful, do I have a superpower, am I all Achilles heel, where am I getting life wrong, where am I getting life right, you blah 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 blah. Me is, I know I have this juice somewhere, I can see it when I'm with my friends, I contribute in this particular way and it feels good, you know, or I can deliver this service. And when I'm delivering this service, I don't think about anything else.
Yeah.
You know, that which is flow, which is essence, which is inner child, which is uniqueness, that whatever that beautiful, unique seed was that got planted in each of us. And then from there, we can actually get into business in a way that's really cool, right? We can really unite with other people because we're coming from a place where connection is possible. We're coming from the juicy place.
I love it so much. You have this framework, the I, me, we. And I love a good framework because I one thing I'm good at is putting structure around ideas. I love your framework a lot, and there, I have a couple of things I was thinking about with that framework. And one of the things is, you know how the I starts with ego, and that can be quite negative, because you're too scared about what people think of you and stuff like that. And then it does relate a little bit to that kind of tension again with personal brand, where I think about personal brand as a really deep form of self-care and sort of that action piece to manifesting. And so, you know, you can like go get a massage or go to the pool, and these are all self-care, but they're not going to get you that lasting, deep results that make you joyful and happy. But where the tipping point is, I think, with this idea of personal growth and personal brand and where it might come to the negative is when it is too I, you know, because why do we do it in the first place? And yes, it's to make sure we're living a life that we're passionate about, but also more importantly, it's to be living our purpose. And your purpose is really what you want to give to the world. And so if you can try to stay in that mode of, you know, what are my gifts that I want to give to the world? And that's my purpose versus the I, look at me. And knowing why you're doing it, like, why am I putting myself out there? Why do I want more followers? Why do I want more, you know, likes, for example?
Yeah.
And if it's really to further your purpose, that's where the good shit is, you know? And then with the me, to your point, that's when it's like less ego and more essence and more bringing out your true self and really understanding yourself and like, what does make you unique? What does make you tick? And you know, like you use the idea of like when you're with people, you can kind of feel like, oh, this is where I usually add the value. And you can kind of feel that, you know, and with what I do, it's a little bit more structured because I do like the structure in terms of adding, like, what is your position? What is your voice? What is your message? What is your angle? But then the reason I love this conversation so much is because I'm getting more woo-woo by the day. I mean, literally, right? And I love anything like mind, body, magic, energy work. Like, you know, before I got sober, I did my heroic doses of psychedelics at Beckley Retreats and got this beautiful insights. And so I think that this idea of continuing this journey of knowing ourselves allows us to open up this connection that you're talking about and meet synchronistic or have synchronicity with people. And the idea that I'm now meeting people that are in psychology and in energy work is everything to me because I usually used to hang out with people in advertising and work hard, play hard, global party scene. And, you know, but now that I'm putting stuff out into the universe about what I'm actually about, I'm able to meet people like you. And that's the we that you're talking about. That's like,
well,
the secret.
Yeah, it really is, because, you know, right back at you, because for me to be able to meet people like you who kind of have a sense of me, I feel like you could get me, and you have all these skills and the structure and this whole way of looking at the world and understanding out of function that I actually just don't have. Okay, great. So we can help each other, right? So yeah. this is where the juice happens. It is where the magic happens. It both in terms of, if I think, you know, the business side of collaboration, but then also this spiritual side of collaboration. And as we've been talking, I'm realizing everything that we're talking about really is spiritual, because we are not talking about results. We're talking about getting into that zone, getting into that sweet spot where you can realize your life. You can realize that you are here, that you're in the party. It's not the performance. Yeah. As we've been talking, this beautiful memory's been coming online to me of when I was at university, and I had a best friend called Toby, and Toby and I used to sit on his bed and smoke joints together. Neither of us knew how to roll, but we were learning together. We admitted neither of us actually knew how to roll a joint. We would sit on his bed and we would essentially complain about the lack of parties in our life. We'd be like, where are the parties? Oh my God, why are we not out? We're at university, we should be under the disco ball. And, you know, I've always had the same fantasies, nothing's changed. So we would go on and on about this as if the party was out there. And when I look back on that memory, it makes me want to cry, because I'm just like, it's so beautiful to me that we were that age, and we had the time to sit on a single bed in a student room and just love each other so much as friends and share our dreams and be idiots together. And that was the party, you know, that was the party. This is the party. You and me now, like it isn't out there.
You know, I have, first of all, a very vivid picture of what that looked like. And it's so good. And I feel like you're in a movie from, you know, the 70s or something. Like.
Yeah.
It's so super cool. I wish I was there with you at that party. That sounds like the coolest party on the block for sure. But I remember, this is a few weeks ago actually. And I really needed a sign from the universe this one day. And I kept like looking for the sign and doing all these things to like give me the sign. And I was like, oh my God. Okay. I don't know. I'm not quite sure. I feel like it's not coming. And I have to go. I told this guy I would talk to him. I would help him. He was having some, you know, mental health, sort of issues. And I really like to help people in that arena. And I'm like, ugh, I have to call this guy. But really what I want to do is be looking for my sign. but he was the sign, yeah, you know? So, it's just like, if you're in flow with just like life and versus, I don't know, that idea of like trying too hard, but like being actually present in what you're supposed to be doing, it comes. And it was such a hit me over the head, give me the chills, beautiful moment that I called to help him. And he was the one who helped me the whole time. And it was just like, kind of reminds me a little bit of your story of just like, but just be present or else you're going to miss the whole point of life unfolding and the magic that's right in front of your face, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So let's just substitute the word brand for playground.
Oh.
Or party. Oh, what's your personal party?
What's your personal playground? I like the alliteration in that.
It's okay. Okay.
That's fun.
Onto something. Yeah. Well, fun, right?
Yeah. I love it.
It's important stuff. And I think I look at everything as like in terms of juice or not. And I think joy is juice. Money is juice. Fun is juice. Love is juice. Play is juice. It's all juice. So it's all money. It's all the money. It's all the money. It's all the juice. So I think all of these things deserve a place at the table, front and center, whether or not you decide to make it, you know, your own personal mission. But yeah, I mean, back to what I really was appreciating about your talk was this permission to evolve and hold the idea of brand lightly. It's too heavy. It's too heavy a term. I don't think it's servicing us, although I do have a sort of compassionate overview, rather fantastical take about why branding exists at all, if you want to hear it.
Yes, please.
So here's my thought about it, is that we've got this global consciousness and there's a collective sense that time on this planet may well be running out and that things are breaking apart in unprecedented ways. Structures are breaking apart and the whole fabric of our civilization is, you know, unraveling in different ways, breaking apart in different ways. And we humans do deeply love our humanity, even though it fucks us up in all sorts of ways and it gives us a terrible trial. There is, you know, there is something so precious here. In being a human and in, you know, all that we've created over time. I mean, it's just completely mind-blowing. So in this world where everything is fragmenting and falling apart fast, what do? We cup our hands around the things that we love, the things that we care about. And we say, this is important. Let me see if I can put a structure around it in some way.
Yeah.
Almost like a little museum of humanity. Like, this is what's important. This is what we did. If I have a way to share this, you know, let me share this. So it's a little, maybe fantastical, but it helps me feel more kindly towards branding.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, putting the cup around, you know, what makes us unique and what we can do. And I don't know, it's just because it is such a vast world and we don't know how long we'll be here. I think that it it's natural to go, I want my life to matter. Mm. I think that's just like a really natural, deep human idea. And the idea that the human species is the species that can imagine the future just creates a lot of unrest for us, but creates so much magic and opportunity because we can imagine and we can project and we can create, you know, and like we've been, the whole human race has been building and building and building and building since the beginning and evolving. So if you take on a macro level, this idea of evolution, on a micro level for each one of us, it's kind of, it's ingrained in our DNA to evolve. I mean, I think that's just the whole thing. It's like, we need to evolve. I think it's just, it's ingrained in us. But yeah.
So what would be a good question around that to help people think about their own brand? Would it be like, almost like along what lines do I want to evolve, or what is it that I'm trying to evolve in myself as opposed to?
I mean, I think that like with everyone's brand, it's, you know, there's a lot of components to it, but you know, what are the common themes that run through everything you do? And so you can start to get a sense for your own brand. And like, even I don't do this exact exercise in my specific process, but like come up with a few words that embody your brand, you know, and then just getting really clear on, you know, where have you been? Where are you now? Where do you want to go? And how are you going to get there? By understanding your position, i.e. a positioning statement about yourself, what makes you unique? Because, you know, the death of having a great brand is to always blend in, because to your point about doing something clever, you're talking to your friend about that, yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, you know, introduce concepts, you know, if you're the same as everybody else, which we're not, none of us are the same as everybody else. To be unique and to stand out is really the purpose of brand, but I'm not saying stand out in a way that's inauthentic. Stand out in the way that is bringing your real true self out into the world. Right. So it really, it is kind of trying to understand like what are those unique things? What makes you stand out? But then going ahead and realizing that, you know, bringing that to fruition, because some people might know, but then they don't action it. They don't realize it. They don't put it out there. But the second you put it out, I mean, truly, I started putting more out on Instagram about what I'm really into and my likes went down.
Yeah.
And I'm totally fine with that because privately, I'm now getting all these DMs from people who are actually into what I'm into. So it's like that cliche saying, your vibe attracts your tribe. And so I'm cool. I'm cool that the fact that I'm putting my real self out and I'm getting different people that are interested in what I'm doing. And now I'm excited.
Yeah. 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 And as you're talking about sort of, you know, standing out, it made me also think of that, you know, expression standing for, like, what are you standing for? And what's really helped me in my work recently is, you know, again, moving away from sort of the, when I get caught in the eye of like, I don't know if my work is being understood or seen or appreciated or I'm being effective. I try and reel it back in and then I go to my heart. And so, yeah, there's the superpower, there's the skill or whatever that you have, right? So let's say mine's some kind of like energy, kinetic energy thing. What's in my heart is that's my motivation, right? So my motivation isn't to be a kinetic energy thing. My motivation is love and I just go right back there because it's the only thing I know. I know, I know, I know, I know, I know that I care about that. And I know I care about connection. And I know if I can feel like in any way, I'm like increasing love, then that's my anchor. That's my fucking path. And so I just, you know, I just reel it back in. Just follow that. And, you know, if it's a shit show, it's a shit show, but just like follow that because that's real.
Yeah.
And it's true.
I love love too.
And snap, we're twins.
I'm a total hopeless romantic. And I love that too. And it just strikes me that earlier in the conversation, you had said that, I don't know if it was like a therapist or a friend that said that you need to leave the big castle.
Oh, yeah.
Or the castle, not the big castle. Yeah. Castles are big. And so what really strikes me is that, like, whatever is in your heart, it will always be there. And if you don't follow it, it keeps coming back and coming back and coming back. And so it reminds me of, like, what you resist persists. And so you kind of can't escape what your natural inclination is. If you get too far away from it, you start to not feel good. Yeah. And you know you don't feel good, but maybe you don't know why. And it's probably because you're too far away from, like, what your soul wants you to do, you know? And so I always think that also on the other side of whatever it is that we're avoiding is the magic of life. And so for an example, my biggest fear was, this is the first time I can say was, maybe still is, but okay, so was public speaking. Horrible. Like, I had panic attacks, you know, when I lived in Paris and New York, fairly public ones. So as you can imagine, now I'm having panic about having a panic attack, you know? So it's like building on each other into this big purple monster. But I'm so freaking passionate about what I do and about sharing, you know, my framework and how I can help people with their personal development, their personal brand, that I had to do a public speech. I got invited to do it and I could reach a ton of people. And I really wanted to say no, of course, because I thought I would die. But I didn't die. And on the other side of facing my fear was this whole world. I could start crying and all this magic waiting for me on the other side. And so, like, if you can face your fear to bring out what is in your heart, there is magic waiting for you. It's not easy.
Yes. I'm really glad that you brought this in. First of all, it was so funny for me because you told me this before about your fear of public speaking. In fact, I think it was in your talk and I was like, oh my God, that's amazing to hear, because you're such a natural, and it was it just looked like you were having so much fucking fun. and it just seemed like such a fucking perfect fit. So that's kind of interesting, right? Because that's, and I think it's one of the reasons I was very drawn to you, is that's liberation energy, right? Yes. That the energy of unblocking, that's one of the things I'm really after, right? It's the energy of unblocking is just such a beautiful energy. And so it makes sense, right? That if you deal with your fears and you deal with your blocks, you're going to get these huge dividends of energy. It's like therein lies the rub.
That's
you can't get it without going there.
I love how you put that, the energy of unblocking. And that is where the rub is. You're exactly right. I love how you put that. And I think I used to talk about it, but then, and I had experienced it on little levels, but that I experienced it on a much larger level when I faced my biggest fear. And I'm like, holy shit, this is real. You know, this law of the universe is real. And that if you can overcome a fear, everything starts opening up. Because you're telling the universe, like, I'm gonna go ahead and go for it. And then their universe responds.
It's so tough. I, like, as you're speaking, I'm like, how can I get somebody to do this for me? Aren't there, like, people, aren't there people who could, like, just, like, surrogates, people who could just do it for me and then I can experience the relief of it or whatever. I always get so scared about things. And I think what I do with myself is, you know, because you can only work with yourself, right? You can't, you know, try and be someone else with yourself. You have to be yourself with yourself. And therefore, if you're scared of a lot of stuff, you're scared of a lot of stuff, right? So, so for me, small example, but recently going to this festival, I realized I was going to take this trip on my own. And I was stuck because I didn't want to drive a big van. I've always wanted to go on an RV trip, but I've always felt like someone else should do the driving. And I'm like, where's the guy? Once I went with a friend who wasn't scared of it, a female friend who wasn't scared of it, and she took this massive bus and it was great, but I didn't drive. So I'm coming up against this again. I'm like, God, for years I've been saying I want to go on an RV trip. if only someone, I had the, you know, the driver, whatever. I was like, okay, enough already. Let's try. So I do it, right? So I drive the big vehicle that I'm scared of driving. And of course, you know, cut to me just feeling like a total badass. I'm like, I can't believe it, you know.
So that happened and then I saw you dancing?
Yeah, that the dancing was like, yay, I just made it to the desert. And right. I drove down this big vehicle in it. And now I'm at the desert and I'm in a festival. And I have my own toilet. I'm now at a beautiful festival. I'm in a playground. I got myself to the playground and I had to work for it a little bit. But yeah, it's amazing the dividend. And it's hard for somebody else to understand why that was a big deal. But these are just personal things, right? And so now I feel like that's great. I'm now less limited in my life. I can, you know, take off.
I saw you dancing and it makes sense that that video was right after you overcame one of your fears. You were liberated.
Yeah.
Holy shit. After my liberation, I wept, and I've never used the word wept because I don't live in the 1800s, but I bawled my eyes out of just release of overcoming my fear. You know,
It was amazing. I guess we just have to encourage each other. I don't know. Yeah. And ourselves, right? It's an ongoing thing.
The idea that I guess the final thing I would say on this is just, when do we relate to people the most? When we see their flaws. What is that psychologically? You know, it's just like a deeper point of relation when you know that someone is flawed, because you're like, oh my God, my soul connects with them because I'm also flawed. And that's when we have that deep connection with people. And so hearing your story, not of how great your life is or how successful you are, but hearing about how you were scared to drive a truck.
I'm like, Yes, exactly. We've gone from the castle to the driving, like, I'm like, shaky driving a truck.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So funny. It's so beautiful getting older. You learn so many things. Huh?
I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Thank you so much for today. I've really loved every minute of this conversation.
I have loved every minute too. Thank you, Jane. I can't wait to see you back in LA.
I know. Yeah, please get in touch, and lots of love and take care.